Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown. Oh, my heavens.
The mark of fantasy excellence.
It's caught for a touchdown.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. We'll go out there and take it.
All right, welcome back for hour number three of Roto Experts in the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Sunday morning, we're here in the Northeast preparing for another snowstorm, but our hearts are warmed by thoughts of fantasy baseball and fantasy baseball draft prep and actually drafting. I'm in the middle of the TGFBI. That's the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational League formed by Justin Mason. Love Justin Mason, one of the busiest guys in fantasy, George. And we were talking to Survivor before. I saw a tweet of his, I think he put it up, that he's thinking about, or he has applied to be a contestant on the Survivor TV show. And I've been thinking about it too. Just my swimming skills are a little lacking. So, I love the opportunity, but I don't know if I could handle it in terms of the swimming skills necessary.
I don't watch the show enough to know really what goes on there. I do remember the old show Fear Factor, which I thought was a kind of a bad name for Fear Factor, because all the stunts they made you do, nothing was ever going to happen. You're all protected, so you didn't have to worry about any of that. So I don't know what fear there was there. Yeah, heights, I get it. That could be a problem there, but nothing was ever going to happen to you. The problem was the food they made you eat. Right, that wasn't fear, but that was just disgusting and gross. So that was always the issue there. I'd never be able to eat the food, and I imagine I'd have the same problem on Survivor.
Yeah, they switch up all the challenges on Survivor, so sometimes it does involve eating like crazy food. Like one that sticks out to me is eating, let's say, a bird. I forget what kind of bird, but it hasn't hatched yet. But you have to eat the unborn, whatever. I guess I forget.
No, thanks for sharing that, Joe.
Yeah. Good morning to you. Yeah, as you're having your breakfast, everyone. Yeah. But a lot of it's physical and a lot of it's involved.
Not having eggs and bacon stuff anymore.
All right. Well, let's say we talked a lot about football, which I enjoyed. But let's get back to fantasy baseball. There you go. You remember Joe's Fish Market, right? Yeah. The other day had some nice salmon from there. Exactly. And what's the good markings of a fish market there, George and Sean?
Doesn't smell like fish.
When you walk. Yeah, exactly. When you walk in the door, you don't know that you're.
See, I pay attention.
See, I like that. You learn. You and Cam Stewart, big fans of my fish market.
Well, you gave us good advice. You get fish at the fish store. I mean, that's fantastic.
It's life advice. You know, this.
I'd always been searching for fish at a sporting goods store. So that's what I've been doing wrong.
They look at you kind of funny, right? When you go up to the counter and say, look, you know.
That is salmon, buddy. What do you mean you only got baseball gloves here? No, salmon. Wants salmon.
Well, I got this fishing rod that you can buy.
Right. And you give me the tool to get the fish. How about the fish? I want the finished product, buddy.
Yeah. You want to skip, just go straight to right? Just give me the damn fish. So, all right.
I've been fishing forever. It's going to be 40 years since I've been fishing.
Wow. You need to get back on the ocean. Or are you more a surf caster?
I don't think I've ever fished on the ocean, not that I can remember. Mm-hmm. I remember going with my father when I was a kid, Howard Beach somewhere, mm-hmm. I'm sure. So and fishing there.
Sounds like, but according to Sean, it looks like you're fishing out of the toilet bowl.
Yeah, or a bathtub. I think it's a bathtub. Isn't that what it is? Sounds like someone's taking a bath. You know, it's funny, Joe. Right. Speaking of a bathtub. You know, it gets back to parenting again here. Actually, I had a talk with my kids last night. Not that anything happened, but my neighbor reminded me to tell them, you know, when you're taking a bath, not that my kids do take baths all that often, but they every now and then, make sure you don't bring any plugged-in electronics anywhere near it.
Ooh,
you know, I never had that talk. I never even thought about having that talk.
Mm-hmm. Right,
yeah,
right.
Just to make sure. You know, I got two girls and blow dryers for their hair and stuff like that. I had to think about that. Listen, the bath they use anyway, they would need an extension cord really to reach anything to the bath. But, you know, hey, listen, PSA there, boys and girls, make sure you talk to your kids, not having anything, a plugged-in electronics device near the bathwater before we go.
Look how far we've come this morning. We've talked about streaming TV, some shows to stream, right? We've talked about where to get your fish, where to get your fresh fish, and how to tell that you're in the right environment to buy fish, where you walk into the fish store and you don't smell fish, right? Now, give them this other great advice. Do not take plugged-in electronics into the bath with you. Fantastic. Fantastic. We're going to submit this to we're going to submit this episode to the National Broadcasters Hall of Fame, and I'm sure we'll get nominated for something. Maybe nominated.
Yeah, I'm sure for something.
I don't know. It's a cancellation or something. I don't know. Fantasy baseball. I want to just share this strategy that I saw described on Fantasy Pros. Then I want to share with you my team on the TGFBI and maybe do some additional analysis of some positions in fantasy baseball. You ever hear this Marmol strategy where you punt two categories? You punt wins and strikeouts, and then you dominate the other eight. So you basically, in this kind of strategy, you use your first 10 picks on hitters. You don't draft any single starting pitcher unless you're required to by your league. But I don't see why you would at that stage. But basically, you're looking for guys with great ratios and target batting average and stolen bases early. Then you shift to home runs, running RBIs, and runs. And then later on, you focus on great ratio relief pitchers. It doesn't even have to be closers. Like, you know, guys like, let's say, Dellin Betances, Adam Ottavino, Jeremy Jeffress, Joss Hader, guys that, you know, have good ratios, get you lots of strikeouts and whatnot. What do you think of that?
Punting one category reduces your chances of winning drastically. Punting two, I mean, everything now has to go right. I mean, everything now has to go right. You're punting two categories, you're in 10 carries, means the most you can get is 82 points. All right, it means you're getting 1 point in the two categories you punted, and you're winning all the other categories. You get 82. I mean, good luck, good luck. Now, whenever anybody asks about punting, generally it's about punting one category. Generally steals, sometimes saves. Right, those are two categories we always hear the most about people punting. You know, they don't want to draft closers, and some people, when I say punting saves, by the way, some people believe in don't pay for saves during a draft. You pick them up during the year, so they're not punting the category. They're looking to pick it up. You know, which I don't really have an issue with. I don't know if I'd go that direction either, but I understand it. But when you punt a category, you're just leaving yourself no room for error because you got to now start winning the others. And there's so many things that are out of your control here. Hey, the other draftees are trying to win those categories too. So now you're saying you're beating them, you know, which you may or may not do. To say you're going to win all eight other categories, come on. No one's doing that. You know, not in a competitive league. You're just not. Mm-hmm. You're almost limiting yourself to about 75 points there. And that gives you the average of pretty much second, between about second and a half place in the other categories, which would be fantastic. But is that enough points to win your league? Probably not. Probably not. So would never give anybody the advice of punting. I wouldn't tell you to punt one category, more or less two. Mm-hmm.
I used to punt the save category in my home league, and the idea behind that was, you know, if I punt relievers, you know, and the save category, then I damn well better win the wins category, and I almost always did, and the strikeouts category. You know, and then, you know, so that, and that actually, it worked. You know, it was a home league, and I was very successful in it. And then eventually, you know, two or three other guys would follow suit as well because they saw that it was a way to go. But, yeah, two categories is a bit tough to do. But, you know, it's just different strategies that people are looking for. And that's what makes playing fantasy baseball and fantasy sports so much fun, you know.
Yeah, there's more than one different way to win a league. And you're talking about, yes, would work. Because theoretically, if you're not drafting two or three relievers, well, now you can draft two or three extra starters. So you should get wins. Yeah. You should get strikeouts. But here's your problem. There's no way to guarantee your ratios. Ratios generally can be won by relievers. Because they pitch in a small, you know, you get ace relievers. They generally, you know, it's three up, three down, innings over, move on. You know, so unless you have an innings limit, which then would stop some of this, your guys can do that too. Now, granted, if you're drafting relievers, K's and wins are going to be tough. There's a reason why we like to have a happy mix. So you cover everything there. So that's the other way to stop that. You know, that's also why, you know, when you judge, you're punting two categories, you're punting saves, you're punting steals, whatever. You can't guarantee yourself ratio wins. Because even if you're drafting extra starters, those extra starters might suck. You know, you're drafting fourth and fifth starters from Major League Baseball teams, generally their ratios aren't going to be very good. So it's why when it comes to saves, during a draft, I've never punted the category, Joe, but there are times where I may have only ended up with one true closer. My strategy going into a draft generally in regards to saves is I want one bona fide closer, which, by the way, this year there may only be seven or eight of these guys. It's thin. This might be the
worst. I thought I got it with Doolittle, damn it.
I would have thought you did too. I'd have been okay with him. He wasn't one of my seven or eight, but he was just on the outside.
Yeah.
So I would have thought you would have been. And listen, the reports, by the way, are not going to make you any happier. Not that Kimbrel is signed there, but apparently it's further along than people think. So that it's on its way to being signed. Once again, I wonder if this is a sort of a PR thing and an answer to Harper. You know, Harper signed, okay, we'll get another closer and really extend our bullpen, which is not a bad idea. But anyway, so when I go into a draft, I want one bona fide closer. For instance, in the in that SiriusXM draft, I took about the sixth closer off the board, and I took Chapman. Okay, and I want, because he's my bona fide closer that I believe is going to have the job all season long. Now, after that, I'm going to wait a couple of rounds, you know, probably double-digit rounds before I grab my next closer. And it'll be a closer that doesn't quite have the stability. You know, he could lose his job. I don't remember who I took offhand, but that's how it'll be. And then I'll draft closers later on. Now, I ended up being in that serious draft where there are a lot of closers that lasted. I was able to get Jordan Hicks. I remember grabbing him late. Aroldis Vizcaino. Was able to grab him. And these are guys who I believe are going to close, if not all season, most of the season. And I was even able to get Shane Green as well. Now, granted, he's destroyed their title, but he'll still save 20-plus games unless he's traded. So I was able to get more saves than I expected in that league. And I'm happy with that. I'm fine. So that's how I approach it. But there have been times where I've drafted Joe and ended up being, oh, God. You know, I ended up one closer. And I was on the wrong end of a run every time, and that's it. It's all I got. And what I'll do in those leagues is that I'm not afraid late in the draft to take the Andrew Millers of the world, the Dellin Betances, or in this case, about any Yankee reliever, because, they're not going to get saves off the bat, but if the starter gets hurt, well, they're next in line, but they'll protect my ratios. So theoretically, yes, they're not helping me in saves, but they help me in two other categories. So I can make that. Rather than take a bad SP4, SP5 on a major league team, he's going to get more strikeouts and better chance of getting Ws, but it's going to wreck my ratios. So that's the way I approach it. This is only in the chance where, once again, I wasn't punting saves, but it ended up being where it was pretty close. It's sort of like the zero running back strategy in football. I never go into a draft planning on not taking any running backs, but if every time I pick the top wide receiver is still there, bet much better than the running back, well, then I could end up going zero running back, but I never planned on it that way.
Right. Yeah, so you're thinking Shane Green, you know, until he potentially gets hurt or loses the job, you think he's good for a good 15 to 20 steals? Steals, stolen bases?
He's steals, probably stolen not bases, stealing bases.
No, he's not a good...
no, I don't think he's pitch running anytime soon, but hey, maybe he's faster than he looks. You never know there. I'm a believer. Listen, anybody who's gathering saves has value. My worry about right. Shane Green, yeah, he could lose the job to Joe Jimenez eventually, but I don't think so. Mm-hmm. They're not going to win many games, so you're not going to get 35, 40 saves out of him. My right. biggest worry with Green is...
So it's just showing the category.
My biggest worry with Green would be, well, you know, if he does pitch well, he's going to be pitching for a new team. You know, they'll trade him because they're not playing. And whatever new team he goes to, he won't be the closer. Yeah, you know, I can't see a good team not have, unless, listen, hey, you know, a good team loses their closer. This is completely different. Closer gets hurt, something like that, fine. Mm-hmm. But generally, if he gets traded, I would expect him to be a setup man for a good team.
Right. Yeah, so let's go over, let me just share my team with you real quick. I had the 12th pick overall in a 15-team league. J.D. Martinez fell to me at 12. I think, I don't know if you remember, I texted you because I was shocked that he was still there.
That's a gift from God.
Yeah. So I ended up taking him. And then on the turn, Baez was gone, Blackman was gone, Lindor was gone, Bregman was gone. So I went, believe it or not, I went Aaron Judge. So I went two boppers. You have to get five outfielders. You have to start. So we'll see. So then in the third round, most of the top starting pitchers were gone. So I ended up taking Clevinger and followed it up with Taillon. So those are my first two guys. I figure, get maybe 180 strikeouts out of both of these guys. Win totals, what am I thinking? Maybe 12 to 13 each from them? I don't know. What are you thinking about those two guys?
You went with Clevinger in round three and Taillon in round four?
Yeah.
Really?
You're not happy with that, are you? Yeah. You're not happy with that, huh?
I'm trying to get. Do I have the name? I have the name right. And Julio Taillon, Atlanta.
Oh, Jameson Taillon.
Oh, okay. All right. That's what I'm wearing. Okay.
No, I didn't go Taillon. Could you imagine?
You took Taillon round four. I'm like, yeah. I'm just saying. Wow. Cut, Sean. Cut, Mike. Please. Clevinger and Taillon. Okay, they went where they go. But yeah, I think you're in trouble here. I mean, your starting pitching is not how I would have wanted it. Who was available at 13? Listen, there's nothing wrong with taking Aaron Judge at 13. Nothing. Right. But I'm a believer there.
I could have taken Machado.
Starting pitcher. You talk about starting pitcher was available.
Okay. Blake Snell. I could have taken Blake Snell instead. Justin Verlander went next. Aaron Nola. Cole, of course, was after that. Then Severino and Kluber. That ended the second round.
I took
round.
In series, I had the 9, 10, 11, 12. I had the 13th overall pick. I took JV. I took Verlander. Because once again, I'm a big believer that you have to take your starting pitcher in your first two rounds or else you're going to be behind the eight ball.
All right, we'll come back and discuss some more fantasy baseball strategy. You're listening to Roto Experts in the Morning.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning, Joe Galina, George Kurtz, Sean Angle producing our show. Talking about fantasy baseball strategy, going over my PGFBI team with George. Went with J.D. Martinez and Aaron Judge with my first two picks out of the 12th spot in a 15-team league. George thinks that I should have went with a starting pitcher with my second pick. Doesn't mean he doesn't like Judge, but I think that what he's trying to say is that he prefers getting his starting pitcher in line with within the first two rounds. So, I could see where he's coming from. But I'm kind of happy with Clevinger and Taillon as my third and fourth picks. I'm thinking that's, like I said, about 180 strikeouts apiece. Maybe 12 to 14 wins each, somewhere around there. So, maybe 25 wins among the two of them. And after that, George, I went with Jose Abreu with my fifth pick. He was the next, in my opinion, the next best first baseman available. I could have Jesus Aguiar from the Brewers went next, but I'm looking at a bounce back season from Abreu before his injury played 2018 season. The guy was hitting 290 plus, 30 home runs, and just about 100 RBI. So I'm thinking he comes back to close to that. So I'm kind of happy grabbing him at first base.
I'm okay with the first bases thin. First base mm-hmm. is thin. That's a position we're in a draft where I know I did a mock for CBS earlier this week, and it was a points league, which changes things a little bit. And I had either the sixth or the eighth pick. I don't remember which one it was offhand. I think Freddie Freeman in the first round. Once again, it's a mock. I don't know if I would have done this in a true money league, but I want to see what my team would look like if I had a top first baseman. Once again, points league. If it was a rotisserie league, I might have gone Trey Turner there. I don't remember. I honestly don't remember if he was available in this league. But I might have gone Trey Turner. This way I take care of my steals. Along with the first-round play, but I covered my steals category pretty much all in one shot there. But I'm worried about first base. Because Freeman, Goldschmidt, Rizzo. After that, you got question marks. You can make an argument that Goldschmidt and Rizzo are question marks too. Goldschmidt, new team. Rizzo struggled at times last year. Bellinger, really don't know what we're going to get. He had off year last year. Votto was terrible last year. Abreu, you mentioned, had the off year last year. Carpenter, it was terrible in the first 2-3 months of last season before really turning on to MVP. Can Aguilar do it again? Mm-hmm. And then after that, it even gets worse. Encarnacion, where does he end up? Seattle's already let us know they want to trade him. Matt Olson, Gallo, Hosmer, Muncy. It's unusual, but first base this year is ugly. It's just ugly, which is why I generally don't like the draft by position scarcity. But I admit, early on, I'm looking for a first baseman. Like I said, it was a mock draft, so I could, there was no penalty for me to do it. I want to see what my team looked like if I took Freeman
that's why
early
mock.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it is why you mock. By the way, it's a perfect. And it's also why I tell people, when you use your ADPs as your draft guide here, keep in mind to get a very large sample size, because I'm not the only person who's taking players in a mock that they normally wouldn't take. Which screws up a mock. It screws up an ADP as well. If you're only taking, it usually tells you at the bottom of these sites you use how many ADPs how many mocks they took here, or from when they're taking. You get your better idea if this is a true ADP or one that's maybe a little faulty. Because in a mock, you're supposed to test out theories. Test out. How your teams would look. And this is what I did here. I've known guys who in a mock, they mock out taking two catches early, how their team would look. In football, you might mock if I take a quarterback early. Stuff like that. So just keep that in mind here. But I didn't mind my team. I kind of liked my team in that league because I had the first base. Because in a lot of leagues, you ended up with a Bray, which I'm fine with. But I'm ending up with guys like, oh boy, do I take Gallo for the home runs and crush my average? Muncy and hope he has it again. Santana with a rebound in Cleveland. Desmond and And it's like you just worry. You start to get scared here that you're not going to like first base. Right. And keep in mind, we got to take a corner infielder later.
Yeah. All right, so that takes my team through the fifth round. Then sixth round, I went with Jack Flaherty, starting pitcher for the Cardinals, who I think has some upside, showed something last year. A guy I'm penciling in for maybe 160, 170 strikeouts. And then VR had been taken, so I was looking for somebody that could give me some stolen bases. So I wasn't really targeting this guy, starting the draft. But look, the guy is good for 30, 35 stolen bases. D. Gordon, and he's eligible at second and outfield. So I'm penciling him for 30, 35 steals, like I said. And then follow that up round eight with Sean Doolittle, who's about to have some company, potential company in that bullpen with the Nationals. Any thoughts on Flaherty, Gordon, Doolittle?
You're the fantasy Jesus, man. You better be starting to use some magic here, because you might have some issues. Listen, it's a 15 team league, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right, so that makes it look better. I don't like 15 leagues. I prefer 12.
You never love your 15, your team in a 15 team. I feel
you're absolutely right. There's always a position or two you're like, oh. I mean, it's true. Flaherty, I have no problem with. He's a fine starting pitcher. Had a great year last year. I expect him to continue. And Cardinals are a good team. D. Gordon, I hate drafting one category, guys. Hate it.
Yeah.
Hate it. This is why I get caught in stolen bases a lot. Because I don't have the guts to take a D. Gordon in round seven. Which, granted, in the equivalent of 12-team leagues, is about round nine. Round eight, round nine, where you took him, which is fine. It's where he goes, but I can't do it. This is why I don't finish at the top of my stolen bases. This is why Trey Turner in the first round is more intriguing to me. This way I don't have to worry about taking somebody like D. Gordon, a one-category guy. Doolittle,
I was forced into doing it, yeah.
Yeah, the reason I make fun of you about Doolittle is, well, you already know. Man, it's a killer. Yeah. Anybody who drafted Doolittle early, and early, by the way, I mean in early drafts, not early in the draft. Anybody who drafted Doolittle already, you're sweating right now. Because if Kimball goes there, and Doolittle now becomes a nice setup man for you. You know, that's all he becomes, and Kimball's not known as a guy who gets hurt a lot. So he becomes almost, you know, it's almost a waste. You almost wasted your eighth round. You might have wasted your eighth round pick, even though you did nothing wrong. I said, there's a chance I drafted Doolittle in that serious league the other night. He might be that second guy I'm talking about. I'm afraid to check myself because all reports are that Kimbrel is – I don't – it's certainly not locked. You know, a scale of 1 to 10 is probably – a 10 being he signs, probably in the 6-7 range, but that he's heading in that direction. And like I said, I think this is an answer to Harper leaving, an answer to the fans. Hey, we lost Harper. We got Kimbrel. You know, got a Hall of Fame closer here. It may be an answer to the Washington Nationals for years always having problems in their closer role, including last year with Doolittle. Doolittle was great, but he also missed 2 months. Yeah, the toe problem, I believe it was. So, you know, he's been out that long. So I think it's an answer to all of this. It's also an answer to, hey, we may not have the offense of the Phillies, you know, but we can now make these games 7 innings, 6 innings.
Right.
Because we're going to throw out Rosenthal in there in the 7th, Doolittle in the 8th, Kimbrel in the 9th. And that's pretty nice, sort of what the Yankees do, right? You know, you can. Yes. I mean, the Nationals don't need to do it like the Yankees don't have pitchers that go deep into games. Yeah, you know, but the Nationals do with Scherzer. Maybe this is a way to relieve some of the pressure on Strasburg, Corbin. It's one hell of a staff there, but they'll need people for Sanchez and I forget the other waste of life they have starting there. But I think this is not good. Right now, I'll tell you right now, if I'm drafting today, I am probably not drafting Doolittle. Not until shot with dark time late. So I think you may get screwed here over no fault of your own.
Right. Then round nine, went with Tim Anderson, White Sox second baseman, 2020 guy. Hopefully he could hit 250, 260 for me. And then around 10, starting pitching was starting to get thin. And a guy that I loved what I saw out of his, you know, delivery motion, a little deceptive. And Yusei Kikuchi. Took him in the 10th round, Seattle Mariners. Now you were—I guess you worried about overall innings pitched, and then went round 11, third base. I needed a third baseman. Matt Chapman had just been taken. Moustakas had just been taken. Travis Shaw had been taken before that. You know, because I had waited on third base. So Rafael Devers was available, so I took him. Looking for a bit of a bounce back season from him. And so far, I'm having a decent spring. So Anderson, Kikuchi, and Devers. Any thoughts on them?
Well, Anderson,
more prayers for the fantasy Jesus.
When you're hoping someone hits 250, 60, that's never a good sign.
Yeah.
You're hoping he doesn't crush.
Well, the home
my
runs and the stolen bases is what. Yeah. I don't think he's going to bat 203. Yeah. He's no Joey Gallo. I mean, you know, but a 240 is definitely possible from him. Let's face it.
I'm okay with Anderson. Kikuchi, I'm not drafting him. There's so many guys coming over from Japan. The bigger baseball here. You got to pitch more often. You're on a terrible
team.
They
tend to do well early, though. I feel that first season.
Not buying it.
They tend to do. Yeah, all right. You're thinking of the fat toad that the Yankees used to have, Hideki Arabu.
Arabu! Kagawa, that worked out real well,
toad.
Too, huh?
Yeah.
God. The Yankees. You know, Yankees
Tanaka, not bad. Darvish, not bad, right?
Depends how you look. Well, Tanaka's been fine. Depends how you look. Darvish, I mean, really, other than what call a year or two, been hurt. Rafael Devers, I love, by the way. I expect a bounce back season. He's a guy I wouldn't mind having on every team I have. I know I've drafted him. Once again, I don't know if it's the live league or the mock, but I know I've had him in a couple of leagues. I do like Rafael Devers this year. I think, once again, the kid's young. Got to give him time.
Yeah.
So I think we give up on players way too soon here. In that lineup, not a lot of pressure on him. I think Devers bounces back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So next three picks, round 12, Ramon Laureano, outfielder for the A's. Eduardo Escobar, I think he's available. I think he's second base and third base eligible from the Diamondbacks, a guy that hit like 20 home runs for you. And then pick for round 14 went with Jonathan Scope, the guy that a couple of years ago hit 30 home runs for the Orioles. Had a bad year last year, but playing for the Twins this year. So Laureano, Escobar, and Scope. Any thoughts on them?
Not good ones.
Really? You don't like Laureano?
It's a joke. It's a joke.
All right, come on. I'm a little sensitive right now. I'm thinking Laureano's good for like a 15-15 kind of a season if things work out for him. And it won't kill you in batting average as well. Bulked up a little bit. He's a little muscle-bound now all of a sudden, this guy.
Now, that's generally not a good thing for baseball, by the way, to be too muscle-bound here. You want to be more fluid, more loose. So I didn't hear those reports, by the way. So that I'm just doing what you're telling me here.
He still looks like a little guy, but you know. But I heard he added some muscle to him. So at least that's
what whenever I hear muscle, but I always think of the Texas Rangers players back in the '90s. You know, Juan Gonzalez or Ron Rodriguez, who were like bodybuilders. And it's generally not a good thing for baseball. You don't want to be that. But as for your projections,
look what
I agree
happened
with you.
To Syndergaard. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you said 15 home runs, 15 stolen bases. I think that's fine with a plus average. Mm-hmm. Not plus enough to really to help in fantasy. I think he'll bat 280, 290, you know, somewhere around that range. So I like the player. No issues there. I was just making fun because at this point, this is what I do. Scope is another person who I like a lot. I think, once again, didn't have the greatest year in Baltimore. I'm going to chalk that up to the team sucked. And everything's just going down here. You know, everything went wrong. And they got traded to Milwaukee, and that was a mess too.
Yeah,
I don't know if it played with his head more than it just, you know, he went to Milwaukee, and then they had Shaw, they had Moustakas, no one knew where anybody was going to play. I think that was just screwed up there as well. Maybe the pressure of going to a World Series team hurt as well. Minnesota, Minnesota I think is an intriguing team. You know, Cleveland's done a lot of backwards. They've gone backwards this season, right? And I think I wonder if Minnesota's caught them. You know, I'd really like to see Minnesota sign Kimbrel. I would love to see Minnesota sign Kimbrel. I think that'd be a great move for them as far as, once again, showing up the back end of that bullpen. I think they need another starter before they can truly compete. Maybe two starters before they compete with the Yankees or Red Sox, but mind you. But I think they're an intriguing team to watch. And I think right now they have a team, along with the Rays, that I would expect to fight for that second wild card spot. The Yankees or Red Sox will get the first wild card spot. So I like Scope. I do. Now, his numbers are going to take a little bit of a hit because he's not playing in Camden anymore, right? So, you know, Camden's a great ballpark. But I'm still going 20-plus home runs with an average that probably doesn't help you but doesn't kill you either. You know, I think you'll bat. I think most in fantasy leagues, I think the averages are generally on 271, 272. So whenever I say that, that means that's what I'm going basing it on. So I say the average's not going to kill you. 265. You know, it doesn't hurt you, and obviously no speed there. But I like Scope. He's a player I'd probably like more for middle infield than I do for a second baseman. But I like him.
Yeah, he probably will be middle infield because of my pick of D. Gordon, which you love so much. You didn't mention Eduardo Escobar. What do you think about him? He's a sneaky guy that could hit 20 home runs for you, and a little multi-position eligibility as well.
Yeah, I think when it comes to Escobar, it depends on who you ask. Some people are high. Mm-hmm. Some people not so much. Once again, he's in the same range as pretty much Scope. He's almost the same player as Scope. You know, as far as what his projections are, he's going to average, not going to hurt you, not going to help you, be around fantasy average. Mm-hmm. His home runs, I expect him, once again, this is always expecting health, by the way. I expect him to hit 20 home runs. You know, with, once again, I guess he has more speed than Scope, but that's not saying much. Scope is going to, the average one stolen base, Escobar might get you two.
Mm-hmm. So my next four picks, and then we'll head out to commercial. The starting third baseman for the Texas Rangers, unsung guy Astrubal Cabrera, who, again, another guy that just sneaks in there with 20-plus home runs, you know, 20 to 22 or so. Doesn't steal bases like he used to. And then at round 16, Trey Mancini, 25 homer guy. And then round 17, I just went, I overdrafted this guy. You know, I drafted him way early, but needed more stolen bases other than, you know, Laureano and and D. Gordon. So I went with Greg Allen, who I think is going to probably get some at-bats there. Cleveland Indians, man, that outfield looks ugly. I think Greg Allen could get, you know, a 400 to 450 at-bats at least. And if so, I think he's good for 20 to 25 steals. And then I ended up, I'm still waiting to pick for round 19, but I went round 18, I went with Sean Newcomb.
Sorry, I'm laughing at Sean in the background. I'm never certain if people can hear what Sean says in the background here, but he makes it intriguing with his countdown marks. All right, so A-Cab, fine. And A-Cab might have multi-position eligibility there. Mancini, someone has to hit for Baltimore, right? That's a bad team, man. Miami Marlins is the worst team in baseball. But Miami's worse, but Baltimore's not that far behind. And the Greg Allen, you said it about Cleveland. That outfield is atrocious. Good luck. And Newcomb, I like. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy with upside.
Yep. All right. When we come back, finish off the show, more fantasy baseball analysis. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the morning.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the morning, final segment. Joe Galina, George Kurtz, Sean Engel, producer extraordinaire, the Fantasy Prince, always seems to find these cool songs from the 80s, little Footloose action. I never saw that movie. Have you, George? Footloose?
No. I was just thinking the same thing, Joe, just as you were saying. I'm like, I've never seen Footloose. And I like Kevin Bacon. Yeah. You know, I do like Kevin Bacon, but I think my favorite Kevin Bacon movie would be A Few Good Men. I've never...
Yeah, recently rewatched that one. Yeah,
that's great stuff. Yeah, you can't handle the truth.
So listen, I can handle the truth. You went through my TGFBI. What would you give it? A C? Hopefully a C.
I wasn't thinking of a grade here. I think C sounds about right. Once again, 15 team leagues. You said it earlier. I mean, I don't know the last time I liked my 15-team league team ever. Right. It always seems to be like, man, it just doesn't look as good as a 12-team league. And by the way, if you're in a 10-team league and you don't like your team, that's it. You're toast.
That's an issue.
All right, 'cause in a 10-team league, you should be loving your team. We all love hate our 15-team leagues, and we all love our 10-team leagues. That's generally the way things work out. Mm-hmm. 12 is somewhere in the middle.
What I've started to do the past couple of years is try to, you know, set goals in terms of, total home runs, total whatnot or whatever. So the way I look at my, the projections I have so far for my team, I was looking to go 300 home runs. So far I have about 260 stolen bases. I was looking for, just about 100. And, I'm close to there. So, I mean, I try to set goals and, based on, let's say, previous year's results. So, I mean, do you do that as well or no? How do you – you said you don't really worry about – do you worry about position scarcity? I thought you said you don't. Like, what drives you in a draft?
All right, this is a great question, all right, because I think more people should do – what I do is this. Now, let's say you're in a 12-team league. All right, and if you're in a league that has been around for years, then it's even easier. What I'll do is if I'm in a league that's been around for years, over the last or the prior 3 to 4 years, what I do is this. I'm going to take the average of all the counting positions, home runs, stolen bases, runs, strikeouts, wins, and I'm going to figure out, okay, In home runs, it takes 300 home runs to win this league. That's what the average has been over the past 3-5 years, whichever time period you want to use. Now, every time I take a player, I took J.D. Martinez round one. All right, whatever you pencil him in for, it could be whatever number you believe. It has to be an honest number. Don't be ridiculous. Oh, he's going to send me 72 home runs this year. No, it has to be an honest number. Let's say it's 38. And you go, okay, 300 minus 38. Now I need 262 home runs to win this position. You know, Judge, I got him penciled in for 45. All right, now I need 223. Okay, so this math again, Joe. You promised me no math. and that's what I'll do for each position on this list. This way I have an idea of how many. This way I know, I got 500 home runs already. What am I doing? I don't need that many to win this. You know, I need more speed. You know, I need wins. I need strikeouts. This way you have an idea. You know, the ratios, you can't really do the ratios during it because that math is too difficult during a draft. But as far as the counting categories, that's simple math. You shouldn't have any issues doing with it. And that's how I approach it. This way I have an idea of what I'm short on and what I may have. Okay, I'm going overboard here. I don't need this many. And you stay away from those types of players. Because sometimes with drafting, you know, fantasy is weird. You don't always want the best player. You know, I made fun of you a little bit for taking D. Gordon in the seventh round here, but that might be the right choice. You might have enough power. Mm-hmm. You drafted Martinez, 40 home runs. Judge, 45 home runs. Abreu could easily hit 30, 35 home runs. So you may be ahead of the game in power already. And you're in a 15-team league, so the numbers I threw out there will be less anyway as far as the total number. You won't need 300 home runs. You'll probably need 270, somewhere around there. So you may be ahead of the pace, but you had no speed so far. You know, D. Gordon makes more sense there. That's why in fantasy leagues, it's almost the same thing where we'll hear about some ridiculous trades that happen. Or people think it's ridiculous because D. Gordon was traded for, I'm trying to think of somebody that makes sense here, for Manny Machado. D. Gordon was traded for Manny Machado in July. People are like, oh, it's a one-sided, lopsided trade. Well, no, it's not. Right, Joe Gallina, who had D. Gordon, was killing in stolen bases. Didn't need D. Gordon. Helped him nothing. But the player who acquired D. Gordon needed stolen bases badly. Where Machado helped Joe, and he didn't need Machado because he was great in all of those categories. That's why you'll see weird trades in fantasy for players for one category, guys, like a D. Gordon. Because players need that. Whoever you traded D. Gordon to didn't care about Manny Machado's home runs. He's setting those, but he needed the stolen bases. Mm-hmm. Joe Gallina didn't need the stolen bases. Same thing here. You need to know what you need and what you don't need. Because like I said, if it takes about 300 home runs to win that category in your league, and you have 472, guess what? You don't get any extra points. Okay, you're not getting in a 12-team league, you're not getting 18 points for that category because you won it by 170. Right. It doesn't work that way. You know, if it takes 300, you have 301.
Excellent point.
That's really what you're looking to. So that's what I do.
Yeah. Excellent point, especially like, you know, we talk about speed being at such a premium. Well, you know, let's say if you're drafting three or four guys that will give you, you know, 30 to 40 stolen bases, you're right. You know, just having more than what you need, you're not going to get extra points for that category. You know, you don't want to overdraft for a specific category either. That's a great, great point. The musings of George Kurtz. George, you're going to be on starting at 11 with my friend Cam Stewart, right? Weekend Fantasy Update. What's going on over there? Probably some combine, some gambling. What are you guys going to do this morning? Into this afternoon.
I think it's safe to say there'll be a lot of gambling talk about the show. Mm-hmm. I know Cam and I, we didn't do well in the afternoon game yesterday. We both had Columbus over the Edmonton Oilers there. I don't know how many units Cam had on the game. I only had one unit because I didn't trust Columbus. But my day didn't start off well. It got better at night, which has been unusual. Because for the past couple of weekends, I've done very well during the day and I tanked at night. And last night was a little different here, even though I didn't go heavy at night. Yeah, it's just one of those odd little things. You know, it's fun. Cam is a much bigger gambler than I am. I don't tend to put anywhere near as much as he does, but it's helpful. You know, we'll talk about gambling from everything from baseball, football, hockey, basketball. Cam's big on Cam's big on everything. Right, he's betting on sports that I've never heard of. And that's not a joke, by the way. He's all over the place.
I love it. He'll gamble on tennis. Yeah, I mean, anything.
Tennis, golf.
You're telling me. Yeah. Probably
soccer, listen to him and Gabe. They're talking about sports from like other countries and like, you know, in the middle of Africa. I'm like, what the hell? What channel? What package do you have that you're watching these games on?
Yeah, two cheetahs had a race this afternoon. A big day.
Oh, believe me, God, Gabe will know what the spread is. Oh, you know, Cheetah A was that was minus a 50 yards, and he won by 70. Oh my God, I don't know how they keep track of all this, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun working with Cam.
Yeah, great guy. Yes,
he's because he's a guy. When he wins or loses, he always has the same guy. You don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's up big or a loss big. So I know he had a very good night Friday night. He went 7-0 in his hockey picks. So hopefully, I don't know. He didn't discuss me who he picked last night. So I hope things went well for him last night too. But like I said, I know it started off poorly.
All right, very good. So we'll be looking forward. I'll be listening to that. So last week we started talking a little second base position. Let's take a look at some of the deeper guys at the second base position. And this guy, I call him deep, but still a very well-known name. What do you think about Jonathan Villar for the Orioles? Last season, had 21 steals in 54 games after he got traded to the Orioles. Orioles are going to be another one of those bad teams, right? We talked about the Marlins, and the Orioles are going to be another team like that. I'm thinking that you could still sneak maybe 40 stolen bases out of this guy. Batting average, I don't think he's going to kill you. Maybe a 255 and maybe 15 home runs. Is Jonathan Villar on your somebody that you're thinking about drafting this season?
I agree with everything you said. As far as the projections, I have between 12 and 15 home runs. I think 40-plus stolen bases is accurate. And once again, the average, not going to help you, but hopefully won't hurt you too bad. I have 260, 255, I'm thrilled. If that's what he ends up with, I'm happy. It's a little bad, but from what I'm getting, I'm not drafting him for that. I'm drafting him for the stolen bases. I prefer him as a middle infielder rather than a second baseman, if possible, but I'm not. He's like the guy who's moving up. And that's unfortunate because I think at one time he was probably maybe even outside the top 15 at 16, 17.
Yeah, it was forgotten.
Now he's moving. Yeah. He was forgotten. That's a really good term. He was forgotten. But now he's picking up steam because we need stolen bases. And people are going, oh, man, Jonathan Villar. He's going to run with Baltimore. They got nothing else. He has to run with Baltimore. That sort of thing here. Baltimore's a bad team. The reason I have Miami as being a worse team is because, there are four teams in the National League East that are a lot better than Miami. Braves, Nationals, Phillies, Mets. In the American League East, it's just the Yankees, Red Sox, and Rays. So at least the Orioles get to play the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays are better, too, but they won't dominate the Orioles like those four teams will dominate the Marlins in the National League East. So bad. I mean, like I said, Baltimore, I expect to be the second worst team in baseball. But their offense is nil, which means Villar will have to run. Because they're going to have to play small ball, move them over here. So Villar is definitely a draft pick. I know somebody in my my heavy keeper league has been trying to trade me Villar, and I would try to work out a deal because I do want him for the stolen bases. But it's an auction league
for the right price.
Take this contract for the right price. Yeah, it's tough. It's not easy. It's a team that's really trading, playing for next season who wants prospects. One of my minor leaguers, so I'm trying to figure out the right value minor league. Right now he wants Lizardo, and that's not happening. He's not getting Lizardo from Oakland. That's an ace waiting to happen there. So it's tough to see his value because he's just a one category guy. That's the only issue, but it's a valuable category.
Take a look at Rougned Odor, 2018 overall numbers, .253 batting average, 18 home runs, 12 steal. Also got caught 12 times. I think that should be noted. Very streaky. On May 26th, he was batting .186 with a .245 on base percentage and .279 slugging. From May 27th to August 19th, he was batting over .310 with a .550 slugging. Then from August 20th on, fell off the face of the earth again, batting .185 with a .269 slugging percentage. For all you DFS players, his home numbers, batted .291, .374 OBP, and .491 slugging away, .217, .277, .358. What do you think we're going to get out of Rougned Odor? Who's going to show up here? I mean, I'm thinking, I'm thinking maybe a 240. Maybe the home runs pop up again because he had that 45% hard hit rate, which was a career high. The stolen bases, if he's getting caught so many times, maybe the Rangers don't let him run as much.
I am surprised they do let him run as much as he did generally in baseball, the rule of thumb is you need to be successful 80% of the time to be to make it worth it. This is the Billy Beane theory, sabermetrics. That's about the number here to make it worth giving up a possible out for, especially in Texas, where it's like playing in Fenway, Yankee Stadium, where you're playing for the big three-run home run, right? Because the ball flies out of the ballpark. So I'm surprised that they keep letting him run. Now, you said it, 12 stolen bases, 12 caught stealings. I don't need to be a math genius to know that's 50%. All right, that's not good. That's not good at all. This is not like, 68, all right, he's close, just a little off. This is bad. I'm surprised he doesn't get the red light more often. I do wonder if he does. So I think, once again, if I'm drafting him, I'm not counting on those double-digit stolen bases. Now, once again, he averages 10, he had, 7, 7, 7, 6, 12. So last year was an aberration. Maybe he was running more last year because he knew he was had such a poor start here. That's why he ran. Yeah, I wonder that, too. Mm-hmm. So bottom line is this. You'd like to get 10. If I get 8, well, fine. I'm not drafting him for that. He's trying to figure out what happened last year. If he didn't, Joe, if he didn't have that last third of the season, the last 6 weeks of the season where he played poorly again, if that didn't happen, I'd probably be much, much higher. I'd be like, okay, for some reason he had a bad first half, who knows, maybe there's some personal problem going on, maybe he had an injury we don't know about, and then he rebounded,
right.
And he'll be like the guy he was in 2017. But then he didn't. Mm-hmm. He had that bad 6 weeks. So now I'm annoyed again. Why? Why did he have that bad 6 weeks? Because he's in a tier with lots of other second basemen. It's not like he's all alone here. I mean, Villar's in this tier. Cano's in this tier. You could argue that Travis Shore and D. Gordon are in this tier. Guys, and it goes on
maybe
and on.
Even Dozier?
Dozier's another guy who's in this tier, absolutely. LeMahieu's a tier below because I don't know where his playing time goes. He's probably just ahead of Scope and his Drubal Cabrera guys who you took. So... just above. Did I say below? I meant above. He's just above those guys. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested in Odor because I think the power is the man swings hard. We know the ball flies out of Texas, so the power is legit there. The average is going to hurt you. I think you said 240. I'm a little bit more optimistic than you, but not much more. So the average is going to hurt me. And the problem is a lot of these guys we're talking about, by the way, we all say the same thing. Average is going to hurt you. Guess what? Sooner or later, we need guys who are going to help us to offset these guys.
Right.
Keep that in mind. We can't keep taking guys who are batting 245, 250, 255 without offsetting this with guys who are batting 290, 300. Or else we're going to have problems with our average. We're not going to finish too well here. So that's one thing we have to keep in mind here. We can't keep drafting low average guys. Because I don't, once again, as much as I don't like drafting guys who just steal, I don't want to draft guys just for average either. That's a problem.
Right.
So that's one thing I'll keep very much in mind here. But I'm interested in Odor. I am.
You see a little bounce back from Brian Dozier, guy, 20 home runs, 10-plus steals, only batted 215 last year, but playing for the Nationals, a pretty decent lineup this year.
Joe, guys going from different leagues, I generally tend to stay away from, especially when you go into a different league, that the ballpark's not friendly for hitters. It's not. Washington's a pitcher's park, not a hitter's park there. So I tend to stay away from these guys. I think the average is certainly going to hurt you. It'll be a bad average. I do think that stolen bases and home runs, I don't think he's going to hit 40 home runs anywhere near that. I think if you're hitting mid-20s in that park, you'd be happy. You're getting him more as a middle infielder than you are a second baseman. I think he will steal some bases, probably in the 12 to 15 range again, but the average is going to be a problem.
Yeah, and it always has been for him. At one point, it looked like he had turned the corner, but last year the bottom fell out again, and like I said, batted 215 on the season. So I think based on what you told me about Shane Green Mr. Kurtz, that's going to be my next pick in TGFBI. If it doesn't work out, I'm coming after you. Stay tuned, everyone. We got Cam.
Come
get
me.
We got George Kurtz.
Come get me.
Weekend Fantasy Update. Thanks to Sean Engel, producing the show, keeping us flying straight, doing a great job as always. Stay tuned, like I said, for Weekend Fantasy Update. Have a great rest of the weekend, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Roto Experts in the Morning on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.